Perhaps never have you seen, children, a parade of soldiers as they march to the streets in their columns and in their marching orders and of all their brilliant buttons. But when you see a parade of soldiers, you don't see an army. You see an army of soldiers when you see them fight to defend, to liberate, to help, to free. That's when you see an army. And so it is with church. We don't see church when we sit here on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. That's not church. We see the church and the believers are in action. As the light, as the salt, as the leaven. That's the church. As Jesus said, those who do my word. You see, the purpose, therefore, of coming together on the Lord's Day as we do, is to enable each saint for the great calling that you've been called to, children of God. You are called to be the salt. You're called to be the light. You're called to be the leaven. You're called to be the soldier of Jesus Christ. And what is then the church gathering for as we are here by the word, under the word, with each other? We come here before the captain of salvation. For what? To hear his instructions. To be reminded of his commands. We come here as before the shepherd of the sheep. For what? To be nourished. To be fed. We come here before the physician of the soul because in the battle this week, you'll have wounds. You've been hurt. Perhaps disappointed. So you come here on Sunday to listen to the captain, to listen to the shepherd, to listen to the physician of the souls. Maybe you're fearful and you rather cower away in the corner, not anymore doing what God calls you to do. So you come back here to be encouraged, to be again strengthened, to go forth in the battle. That's what a church service is for the saints. Of course, there's other purposes, as I said the other day, to fish or to be the recruiter of new ones in the kingdom. That's also my purpose. But this morning, it is a message to everyone, not just one particular group, to every one of you and me. So how much this meeting with Jesus, who speaks through his word and preaching, will profit you, has much to do with you. I'm going to repeat that. How much this meeting with the great captain or physician or shepherd will profit you, has much to do with you. Let's read it from our text. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And let's read verse 18, just the very first part of it, which is the main focus of the scriptures this morning. Jesus says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." You and I are to take heed how I hear the word that God speaks. Now, you notice in the context, please scripture open for a moment so we see where this is fitting in. Notice in verse 1 that Jesus has gone on a new preaching tour. He's gone to a new area perhaps, or the same area, but he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. Jesus sharing the word. He's preaching it. He's gathering people on the market squares and the villages, and they're coming from outside, and everywhere he is, he preaches to them. And the overtone of his message is the glad tidings of the kingdom. Now, that's his ministry. Now, in this context, he preaches a parable. Luke doesn't call attention to that, but Matthew does. This is the first time that Jesus is preaching a parable. He didn't do that before. This is about half a point in his ministry of the 3 years that he turns to preaching parables. Disciples are rather surprised. "Why dost thou speak in parables?" they ask. Matthew makes note of that in Matthew 13. You can compare it yourself today. And we are well known, well acquainted with the parable of the sower. You can also consider it the parable of the soil. As Jesus preaches this parable, and notice he concludes this parable with verse 8b. Let me read that for a moment with you. Verse 8b, he says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, please don't read your English Bibles as an English-thinking person. We need to read our Bibles as a Hebrew-thinking person. When a Hebrew hears the word "hear," he doesn't think about his ear, as you and I do. When the Hebrew hears the word "hear," he thinks about his heart, means obey. Obey. Action. Jesus says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear, let us do, let us obey, let us see action." And you notice that he expounds that again in verse 18a. "Take heed therefore how you hear." And notice again in verse 21, he says, "My brother, my brethren, are these which hear the word and then do it." Now that's the exposition of the very word that Jesus spoke. He that has ears, let him hear. Do it. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Now in between, we find these rather difficult verses 16 and 17. And they are found in other gospels in different contexts. And expositors struggled a little bit indeed finding out why Luke put these words here. But I think J.C. Ryle has probably the best way to explain it. So let's read verse 16 and 17 again first before I share J.C. Ryle's thoughts on that. He says, "No man, when he has lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad." J.C. Ryle comments this, he says, "The disciples must not think that the Lord's instructions were to be kept secret or hidden from others, like covering a candle. No, they were to share it and to shine it by doing it." That's a powerful way to expound this little scripture. They were to share it and to shine it by doing it. Now that word that we receive is not to be kept for ourselves. What you receive this morning and this evening is to be shared. It is to feed you and nourish you, to correct you. It is to encourage you. It is to deepen our thoughts of God and of ourselves. But it's also to share it. We don't put it under a candle. We don't just hide it for ourselves. You know, wherever we are this week, God wants us to share by shining and by sharing and doing it. And friends, there are millions of people in this country that don't know the word, that don't know the God, and that don't know Jesus, that do live as if they'll live forever without Christ and without hope. Now, back then to our text this morning, verse 18, "Take heed therefore how you hear." Jesus, as the chief preacher and prophet, calls us here to take good attention to how we hear. Proper hearing of the Word of God is extremely important. Romans 10 tells us this: faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh through the tool, the means of hearing the Word of God. Not just on Sunday. Holy Spirit uses it on Monday too. And you read it. And you ponder it. And that text is not only speaking about Sunday morning. Take heed therefore how you hear. No, also on Monday morning, when you have your little personal devotional time. Preaching the word, however, is God's chosen instrument to bestow salvation and blessings upon us through the Holy Spirit. In line of Jesus' own emphasis, a sermon on how to hear the word. The Puritans, the Reformers, John Calvin repeatedly preached on how to listen profitably to a sermon. So this morning, that's what I also desire to do in your midst. Our text suggests the theme, how to hear the word profitably. This morning, I'd like to take the first two thoughts, and next week, Sunday, the most critical third application of that. So first now, this morning, how do you hear profitably is first prepare yourselves before the hearing. And secondly, be attentive while hearing. And then thirdly, and that will be next week, apply yourselves after hearing the Word of God. Let's open this sermon by reading this quote on your outline of the Westminster Larger Catechism. It is a brilliant question and answer about the Word of God. It is required of those that hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That's my first thought. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Confer means to discuss it and to consult it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruits of it in their lives. Beautiful summary of the entire text scripture that here we have before us from Luke chapter 8. How am I to receive the word profitably? Take heed. Notice Jesus says this takes attention. Take heed. Be warned. Don't just walk in church, he says. Take heed how you come to hear. We spend lots of time, saints of God, in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Got a preparatory week and a preparatory sermon, two of them perhaps. As if that is more sacred than this Sunday. Did you prepare for this Sunday, for this moment that we are in church today? Take heed. How you hear begins with how you come towards this Sunday morning or Sunday evening service. There is no more sacred moment of the week than this one. We are here in the presence of the living God. We're not just a church family gathering together. We're church family gathering before God. That's sacred. That's solemn. That takes preparation. Take heed how you hear. So how do I prepare myself? Well, let's learn from the parable of the Lord Jesus. First of all, don't be a wayside hearer. Let's go back to that passage in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed obviously the same seed in every soil. It's the same sower, it's the same seed. But it's something about the soil. And the first one, he says, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, a pathway, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, when did that wayside become a wayside? During the sowing or before the sowing? Now, you have the answer already. That didn't become a wayside while the sower is sowing. That became a wayside before the sower was even there. That ground was prepared for what? To be a wayside. How? Well, kids, how does a piece of land become a pathway? How does a field become hardened? You walk over it, and you walk over it, and you walk over it, and you walk over it. And you walk enough over it, nothing grows on it anymore. That's a wayside. Congregation, what are you doing with your heart all week? There's some of you here who let all the world and the earthly go through your mind all day long and all week long. And then they come to church. And then what? And the seed falls down on the wayside and it's trodden down and the fowls of the air after church have no problem taking every thought away because it didn't even penetrate. It just laid there on the hard soil of your heart. If you immerse yourself all week in the earthly, in the trivial, in the vain, don't expect the miracle that changes the moment you walk into these doors. That's not how it works. You need preparation to come to the hearing of the word. If your heart is accustomed to think and to talk about the earthly, if you are totally keyed into all the exciting sound bites that the world will offer you throughout all the ways of the media, and you'd never take the bother and the effort and the investment, have that mind of you plowed over, loosened up, prepared for the moment that God begins to sow the seed this morning. Count on it. Before you're out the door, that picking every thought away. It is written about Rehoboam that he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. We're going to read it in 2 Chronicles 12. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's his choice. That's what he did, neglected to do. And that's why he did evil. You see the connection in your own life? Take heed, therefore, how you hear, Jesus says. Instead, be a prayerful hearer throughout the week. You know, your preparation for this next Sunday begins the moment this Sunday is over. It is my work to prepare the seed, the sermon. And I spend hours and hours and days on that. It is your work to prepare your heart. That the seed and the soil will come together. How do you prepare your heart? Prayer. You know, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 119. But there are so many beautiful verses in that psalm that you could begin to pray throughout the week. I mean, pray like Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. Now begin to pray that on Monday morning. Lord, open my eyes. Please take away this fascination of the world. Unblind my mind from the things of this earth and prepare my heart to see the wonderful goodness and the glories of thy word. I don't see it, Lord. Be busy in prayer all day before this next Lord's Day. That's preparation. That is seeking the Lord. Now, there's other verses in Psalm 119. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, David says. What an honest man. He says, Lord, my mind is in the dust. I love the things of the world. I cleave unto it. My mind is drawn to the vanities of the world. He's honest, but he's doing something about it. He's lifting it to the Lord, the position of his soul. And he says, oh God, incline my heart to thy testimonies. And that's not just a passing prayer. That's a prayer he labored about. That's what we need to labor about, praying. Psalm 19, verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. You have that too sometimes? You don't even feel like reading the Bible. Newspaper. Click on the internet and check it out. Not the Bible. My heart is not inclined. What does David do? He prays. He lays it before the Lord. He's honest. Lord, I have no inclination to read the Bible this morning. My mind is everywhere. Except there. Please incline my heart, O God, unto thy testimonies and quicken me, quicken my soul. Now, congregation, that is preparing our hearts with prayer. What a difference your heart will be when you have been laboring all week with such light petitions at the throne of grace, honestly, earnestly, begging. And then you come to church. Our heart needs to become like a plowed field, like the soil needs to be loosened, needs to be purged from the stones and sticks, needs to become hungry. And that's what Jesus meant. Take heed how you hear, how you come, how you prepare yourself. Remember that mindset of Cornelius? Been praying and fasting for what? To hear the preached word. And now he is there. We are here to hear all that the Lord has commanded thee to speak to us. That mindset. Or think of the mindset of the young believers in Thessalonica. Pray that. Take these scriptures out in front of you as you are in your personal prayer time. Paul says, for this also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. You received it as the word of truth, the word of God, and then working effectually also in you that belief. You see, now you take a verse like that. This is, Lord, help me not to see that man. Help me not hear that man on the pulpit. Help me to hear the word of God that he expounds. And in my heart, grant me that faith, working effectually in my heart that I may believe the word and that it may profit me. That's preparation of the heart. Thomas Boston writes, the voice is on earth, but the speaker is in heaven. Take heed therefore how you hear, congregation, because why? Every sermon you hear, prepared for it or not prepared for it, Every sermon you hear is a matter of life or death. It either brings you nearer to heaven or nearer to hell. Thomas Watson, God's word will always be effectual. If it does not make your heart better, it makes your chain heavier. God forbid that that happens. But those hearers on the wayside made their chains heavier because they did nothing to prepare themselves to hear the word of God. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let's sing first of Psalter 41, verse 1, 2, and 3. Extolling the beauty of the word of God. My purpose, most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. And what follows in 41, 1, 2, and 3. Jesus' words is, take heed therefore how you hear. Well, now let's move into the church. We are listening to the word of God. We're sitting here in church. You know, congregation, that this is the most intense battleground that you will meet with in this week. As we are gathered here together, in the house of prayer, where the word of God is preached to you, picture what is happening there on Cyprus when the apostle Paul is preaching to Sergius Paulus, the deputy of the Romans. And as he is preaching, Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. As Paul is speaking in his one ear, Elias is speaking in his other ear. And finally, the Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil." He's the devil's preacher. "Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Now, that's happening every time you sit in church. As this is the moment that Jesus speaks, so is also the moment Satan is speaking. And you are sitting in this battlefield between King Jesus and King Satan, the adversary. And therefore, take heed how you hear. Lift up your heart as you listen to a sermon in prayer. That God would bind Satan's influence. He will do all to distract you, to oppose what you hear. He will keep you from hearing. He will keep you from listening. He will keep you from hearing unbiased what saith the Lord. Don't forget, we have all filters in our mind. Filters that we have grown up with through our education, to our parents, to our own thinking, to our own ideas. Filters that may be incorrect. Be aware of that. You can be prejudiced, you can be biased, you can be in error as you think. And please be aware of that. I can be wrong, you can be wrong, none of us is perfect. And if we are aware of that, now then we are praying. Holy Spirit, please enlighten my mind. Bind Satan's influence, break down his devices, open up these gates of hell that hold me in its grip. You see, that's how we are to hear as we listen to God's word. There's all kinds of things he can distract us with. The little child that is making a noise. The person who there is who's wiggling too much. Or whatever it is. The littlest thing he can take your mind off and off you go. Buying, selling, trading, whatever it is. Pray. Take heed how you hear. There's no excuse. It doesn't excuse us not to hear the word of God. So pray against a critical spirit. Don't listen for what I don't say. There's people who are experts in telling me what is missed in the sermon. Sure, there'll be lots of things missed in the sermon. There are missing things in Jesus' sermon. There are things missing in Paul's sermons. But don't listen for that. Listen for what is being spoken from the word of God. And improve that. Eat, drink, meditate on those truths. Now take heed, therefore, as you are sitting in church, not to be the rocky ground hearer. In verse 13 we read, "They that are on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away." Those are the impulsive hearers. They listen well. They're moved, they're stirred, they're touched. The word of God did something to them and did something to you. You become religious. You make changes. You go home and you set things in order and you do something with the word. However, in time of temptation, and Matthew puts it different, in time of challenge, fall away. Doesn't go far enough. When Jesus asked about the right eye and the right hand to be cut off and cut out, no, not quite. And the very cost of discipleship comes down home to the details of your life, then they fall away again. See, impulsive, all of a sudden moved by feelings and stirred and making changes, and no. At the end, I can't go that far. The demand of Jesus, you cannot serve God in the mammon. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world or in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." But the impulsive hearer finally says, "Now, I don't want to go that far." No, friends, you cannot continue to halt between two opinions. You either serve God or you serve Baal. God says you're either hot or you're cold, but don't have this lukewarmness. That's the impulsive feeling here who doesn't go all the way. Need to be the partial hearer. That's the next one in verse 14. That which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this world. And notice this last statement. And they bring no fruit to perfection. The partial and the divided hearers. Who are they? Well, those, they listen with one ear to the word, and with one ear to the world. They got their feet in both places. As they are sitting in church, yeah, the word takes a little hold of them. They do produce a blade and a stalk and even an ear. There are Christians who know their doctrines, who know all how it has to go. It has to go such and such. They know the truth. They appreciate a good sermon. They love it. In a certain way. No fruit to perfection. It comes to an ear, it comes to a stalk, I mean, and a blade, and even an ear, but the ear never ripens into an edible corn. And why is that? Well, because, as Jesus quoted, it's obviously the thorns and the thistles are springing up and they are sucking away the nutrients of this plant, and the thing is dwarfed and it never matures into a real plant. That's the partial here. Half of what the heart is, half of the heart is listening to God. And the other half is listening to self, to the world, to the earthly. And if that's the case, then that earthly part wins. It will choke the seed and the plant. The results are disastrous. For when I live with that mindset, all the spiritual desires that are stirred are choked the moment I walk out. The spirit striving that you sense when you sit under the ministry are quenched by getting involved and talking and sharing. And that begins there already when we're standing outside. Watch your conversation. Why? Because they're going to take away what you felt here real quick. Take heed how you hear, Jesus says. Go discuss the sermons, great. What you learn, great. But keep it to that for a while. Treasure that. Let that fruit be brought to perfection. We'll hear about that more when we look at the good ground next week. But there are many Christians, friends, who never come to true faith, true love, and true hope. The fruit doesn't come to perfection, even though they're under sound ministries. Why? It's something of that soil. It's something of how I hear. Take heed how you hear. Now then, thirdly, be a fruitful listener. Verse 15, those on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart. Notice these two words, they're honest. They face themselves, they're honest. Yes, Lord, I'm deceitful. Yes, Lord, I could be erring. Yes, Lord, I could be completely wrong. I'm honest and a good heart. None of us are good and none of us are honest. So how do I become an honest and how do I become a good heart? The Almighty, of course, is the only one who can do that. But are we laboring for that? Are we wrestling for that? preparation again. Seeking that grace, the power of the Spirit of God to make my heart honest, to make my heart good. And having heard the word, they keep it. Now, I will hear more about that next week. Bring forth fruit with patience. They, notice that, that's what Jesus says. They bring forth fruit with patience. Now, mind you, before we look at that, listening to a sermon is a spiritual exercise. Do not come to church to think you're going to be spoon-fed. To come to church and to listen to a sermon well is an intense labor. You sit here at the feet of the King, at the Shepherd's feet, at the Lord's feet, and He is speaking to us word, and the word, my friend, is challenging us to think. It is challenging us to examine. It is challenging us to understand. You go to Jesus' sermons, He didn't explain everything. He sometimes says something and just left it without any exposition. Why? He expected you to do the thinking and the praying. And if you don't understand, He expects you to come to Jesus and says, Lord, explain to us what Thou meant. If you don't, you will never understand. The multitudes didn't. The disciples did. He says, Lord, explain to us this parable of the sower. They heard the rest. So it is with you. What you hear here is not all what is to be said. There's far more to be found. And therefore, listening to a sermon, congregation, is a dialogue between God and you. And I will feel that. I will feel that when you are listening and speaking back to me as I preach. That's an incredible experience when a congregation is listening and speaking back in prayer, in thoughts, and lifting up the heart. Then a preacher experienced something of an unction that you cannot put into words. I have preached in places where the word falls out of my mouth on the floor as dead as it can feel. And I've preached in places where you can sense that people take the word. That's an altogether different thing. So as you sit here, just don't listen only, pray. Lift up the thought you heard. Yes, Lord, I need to obey that. Yes, Lord, I need to examine that. Lord, help me to remember this. Don't sit here just as a spectator. Sit here as a worshiper, as a prayer, as one who is entering into the message while you listen. Yes, Lord, open my heart for that. No, Lord, I don't see that at all, what that man speaks about. Please open my mind. Help me to see that. As you listen, pray. As you listen, speak to God. As you listen, plead. Seek for Lydia's experience. It says in the scripture, God opened her heart that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. She attended. The word attend in the Latin comes from two words, et and tendo. Tendo is where our tendon comes from. So the word attend means to stretch your mind. You need that. I'm here to stretch your mind. You need to pray, Lord, give me what Lydia had, and open my mind that I may attend, that I may be stretched, that I may be brought into a closer and deeper relationship with Thee. That's attending to the Word of God. Now, the greatest obstacle in all this, to receive the Word of our Lord and Savior, is unbelief. Unbelief, friends. As the Spirit's gift of faith is the mother of all other virtues in the life of grace, so unbelief is the parent of all vices in our lives. Unbelief is the parent of stubborn arrogance. Unbelief is the parent of indifference. Unbelief is the parent of disdain. And therefore cry out to God while you're listening to the word that he would work in you faith and repentance. Don't let God at rest with that petition. So, how do we listen profitably? How do I take heed, therefore, how I hear the word of God? We heard that we are to come prepared. It's going to take time. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take effort. There's no farmer who's ever plowed his field by thinking about plowing it. He has to go out to hard work. No one's heart gets prepared without the hard work of us pleading and crying to heaven. But one important part of clearing the ground is removing what hinders us from hearing. That's sin. That's why we chose the two psalters that we are singing at the end also tonight. The end of the service is from Psalm 19. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let that be your prayer before you come in church. That's my prayer when I stand there. One part of it. Lord, if there's any sin in me as a preacher, show me now that it will not hinder me when I open my mouth for thee as I stand here. Show me my secret fault. Let no presumptuous sins have dominion over me. Presumptuous sin is a sin against knowledge, against love, a purposeful sin. It's different than the secret fault you don't see. Pray that. For if that sits between you and you nurture and maintain that sin. Think of that scripture in Psalm 68. When I iniquity regard, God will not hear me. When you come to church asking the Lord to bless the word and you haven't dealt with your sin, he will not hear you. The psalmist says. So beloved, I yearn to see that the word of God will bear fruit as it did among the Colossian believers. When Paul writes to them, he says, I came in your midst and the word of God bore fruit in your heart. That's what we long for, isn't it? You see how Paul writes it to the Colossians. The word which we preach, the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, is it in the world and bringeth forth fruit. As it does also in you since the day he heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. I long to see that in you and me. That God will bring forth fruit in our lives. Let's pray for that. And then be exercised indeed with this need for faith. As you notice the last two verses on your outline this morning, Hebrews 11, and God says that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then the apostle also says in the first chapter, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem come to short of it. Why? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. And why? Not being mixed with faith in them I heard it. Pray for that faith. Amen.